All right, this is Fucked Up, the Grind, live from Sled Island. See you in hell.
Hello and welcome to another volume of The Grind. My name is Chris, and you of course are listening on punkradiocast.com. They DJ the fucking revolution. Now, we have quite an episode for you of The Grind today, this Thursday, the 7th of August. We will be featuring the Calgary Sled Island Music Festival that happened back in the tail end of June, of course in Calgary, Alberta. And as the tail end of the intro music slowly fades out, I can stop talking in whatever accent that was. Welcome to The Grind. Let's do it properly. This is volume 21, and of course we have a lot of stuff coming at you, like we always like to throw at you with The Grind on Punk Radio Cast. This year was the second annual Sled Island Music Festival in Calgary, and I have to say, I wasn't at the first one, but just being in Calgary for the second one, this happened the weekend after the Virgin Fest. So you had a lot of people that had just seen Tragically Hip and Stone Temple Pilots and all the numerous other acts face to face, of course, that were there very next weekend, actually starting the Wednesday. We have stuff going on in town like the Upright Citizens Brigade, comedy troupe with Horatio Sands doing shows all over the place. Acts like Yola Tango, Tegan and Sarah, Broken Social Scene, the RZA from the Wu-Tang Clan was, performed at one point. And just all these little things that you could never, ever see everyone that you wanted to check out throughout that weekend. Just that's how much stuff was going on. And for me, that's not a bad complaint to have about anything. But let me tell you about who we did catch up to that weekend and who we have on the show today, including interviews from such artists as Stonehawker, the Ramblin' Ambassadors, Chicks Dig It, the Martyr Index, and a band that we played right off the top of the show, Fucked Up. Band out of Toronto, Ontario. The track that we played was off of their Hidden World release, and it was called Carried Out to the Sea. Now, as always, I always have big goals of sort of recapping what happened for you guys at the festival, or telling you high points of the show, or something really stupid that happened, but I'll be honest with you, this was about a month and a half ago. I am not a very organized person at times, and I've lost all my notes, and Seem to have lost all my memories from that weekend, too. So without further ado, let's get into some music here and then right into the interviews. Right now, on the grind, this is Chicks Dig It with Chupacabras on punkradiocast.com. In the branches of a willow tree, I can see you, but you can't see me. Doesn't really matter, cause you can't run anyway. You don't know what I wanna do, but all it takes is I can get a hold on you. So let's get to business, cause I did come here to play. Chupa, yeah, Chupacabra. Gonna reach out and grab ya. Chupa, yeah, Chupacabra. Chupacabra. It's dark at 9 o'clock. Turn it 12 and it's time to rock. 12 to the baby, I ain't gonna mess around. They say I only like cows and goats. You're the kind of prey that I like the most. Let's get the bitch to the best thing that I found. Chupa, yeah, Chupacabra. Gonna reach out and grab ya. Chupa, yeah, Chupacabra. Chupacabra. Chupa, yeah, Chupacabra. Gonna reach out and grab ya. Chupa, yeah, Chupacabra.
I am KJ from the band Chicks Dig It, and we're here in Calgary, and it is the end of June in the year 2008.
So that's the last time you've replaced a couple members. We've got Jason back on drums now instead of Dave, and you've switched up a mic for a mic on bass.
That's true. What, it was an even trade. Both great guys and both mics. And then Jason was in the band, of course, at the beginning, and then he left to become a father of children. And then now he's back in the band to play the drums and Chicks Dig It.
And Mike's busy doing the computer thing now.
Yeah, Mike has his own, I don't know if it's a software company, I guess it kind of is. They do like learning, e-learning stuff. For all you people out there at Punk Radio Cast that want, has some e-learning solutions that need taken care of, you can contact our old bass player, Mike Egremont.
What's the dynamic been now with the new members?
I would say that it's the same. I don't know. I can't make that question more sexy than that. It's, you know, we're all, you know, guys that hang out and joke and, you know, hang out, I guess.
What was it like getting up there and basically headlining the second stage, second last act to play tonight to meet the hometown crowd at Sled Island Fest?
Well, I felt really good. I was surprised. You know, like there's, you know, lots of really friendly faces. It's been a while since we played. You know, we played the Virgin Fest last week, which was, you know, a bunch of people who'd never heard of us before, and there were some people there who actually had heard of us before, so it was really a nice day.
So what can we expect in the future from Chicks Dig It? The last album that came out was Pick Razors in 2005.
That's right.
Locking yourselves down in the studio for a while? Or?
Yeah, I think we're talking about, we're just like, I'm just finishing up school, ready to graduate in a couple months, so once I'm done that, then we're able to sort of get back into the rock and roll aspect of our lives. So yeah, we've got lots of songs. We've been practicing a little bit, and lots of songs and some touring, and you know, the same old, you know, the rock and roll machine. You quit your job, scoot you around, scoot you around, scoot you around.
Now, initially, when you guys started out, you were signed on Sub Pop, and then you left, citing that you didn't really fit in with the rest of what was going on there, and picked up by Honest Dawn as a subsidy of Fat Records.
Mm-hmm.
How's that relationship been treating you lately?
Well, we're on Fat Records, I guess, now, and they're great people, and they like music, and And same thing with Sub Pop. It was a lot of people that, you know, liked music and stuff. And it wasn't really that we didn't fit in on the label with the bands. It was more like there was a lot of staff there. There was some problems because there was two owners. One guy signed us but didn't tell the other guy. And then it all sort of fell apart from there. So, and then, you know, it was like we're a love 'em or hate 'em kind of band. And there was definitely a love 'em and a hate 'em side. So it was kind of an interesting thing there. So Honest Dawn's not like that. Everybody's cool and friendly. You know, there's no... weirdness.
So what's your All Done School? We have the new album out. Can the European fans expect you guys over there again?
Yeah, I think actually we might even consider going back in the fall this year just for 3 weeks, I think. We have a lot of fun over there, so it's kind of a holiday. We go over and you know, drink for a couple weeks and then come back home and get back to normal. So yeah, probably maybe the end of the year, and then you know, next year for sure we'll be traveling.
Are you still on Bad Taste Records over there?
Over there we are. Yeah, I think so. We haven't talked to them about the next. We haven't talked to anybody about the next record. But yeah, I mean, we still have good relationships with all the labels that we're on, so that's good.
What act besides yourselves out there that played tonight really surprised you, that you weren't expecting that kind of performance?
Well, there's a bunch of them that I've seen already, so I wasn't surprised by them, but there were some great performances. Ramblin' Ambassadors, for sure. Porta Static, I like them. And then there was the Elliot Brood from Toronto. We saw them last night and today as well, really good. Carolyn Mark, well, we've seen Carolyn Mark a million times, but we love Carolyn Mark. And yeah, just I haven't been out too much, so last night I got kind of drunk and I don't remember like most of the stuff that we saw, but I remember being happy. So there's some good stuff that
so
played last
night. Then, right?
Yeah. It was a bad day and a rough show, but whatever.
Now there's so many bands that have sort of descended on Calgary for this Sled Island Festival. Mm-hmm. What stands out for you? What are you gonna go check out either later tonight or say tomorrow or even the wrap up party on Sunday?
Well, I know so little about music today that I think that I'm just gonna wander and hey, this is Mark from the band Chicks Dig It, everybody.
Hey, what? Is this a secret blowjob?
Yeah, that's the name of the show.
Secret blowjob on Punk Radio Cast.
Why not? Cool. I'm Mark. I play guitar in Chicks Dig It.
This is I was just explaining to the fans out there the complex dynamic of Chicks Dig It, how it's really changed a lot over the years. But anyway, yeah, I'm just going to wander through, and Mark's going to join me. We're going to be a sort of a team of wanderers, rock and roll wanderers tonight. Drink a little bit, see some bands that we never heard of, which is 99% of the bands
never
out there. We're going to go see the Neckers, actually, from Calgary tonight, and who are fantastic. And we're also going to see our bass player Mike's band, who are called the Mad Cowboys, and they're playing with Fucked Up at a place called Vern's.
In 20 minutes,
so really, we have to wrap this up.
Yeah. Do you guys want to get out there before we do wrap it up?
Oh, just, you know, actually, no, because it'll get all heavy. I just had some personal feelings I wanted to air, but maybe for the next time we meet, we'll air those out. Yeah.
If fans want to check out Chicks Dig It, where's the best place to hit up online?
I would actually just go to one of our shows. Online. Yeah. chicksdigit.com, and then there's a MySpace, and then a Facebook thingy, and I don't know, you know, the internet. So you'll find it. There was a Wikipedia even on us. We've hit the big time. Did you know that? A Wikipedia?
Can I get the book and ask
me
to do a...
I'm KJ, and according to our Wikipedia on Chicks Dig It, as of a few months ago, I was Kyle. I guess my real name is Kyle, which it isn't. But did they change it?
I think so.
I'm no longer Kyle. I used to be Kyle. Now I'm KJ Jansen from the band Chicks Dig It. This is Mark.
I used to be Mort.
From the band Chicks Dig It, and you are watching Punk Radio Cast on the interweb.
Just made friends with the guys who Chicks Dig It with Shadowy Bangers from a Shadowy Duplex. Big thanks to KJ and Mark for taking some time after their set to talk to us. Now you heard there, KJ said, you're watching The Grind on punkradiocast.com. Now, if you're familiar with The Grind at all, you know that we usually bring video cameras with us to all these events. So it takes a little bit longer to get the video up than it does the audio. But always check out The Grind's MySpace page, myspace.com/burnside780. That's burnside780. And hit the video page. There's usually some new stuff coming up every week. We've got a whole bunch of stuff in the works with all of these interviews we're doing here. But main focus right now is to get the audio parts all done for you and airing on Punk Radio Cast. That's why we're having another two shows next week. Another Tuesday and a Thursday airing of The Grind. Next Tuesday is Boonstock. We've got Gob, Daniel Wesley, Connelline Crush, The Transition, Six City, Tupelo Honey, bunch of music as always. And the Thursday show is going to be Stacey Steele's special. With she checked out the Stills when they performed in Calgary at the Snatch Rock Club. There was the Exposure CD release party, and a whole bunch of acts coming at you there with the Summer Lads, Secret Broadcast, the Fast Romantics, the Stills, of course, and Zoo Lion. So a lot of stuff coming at you next week on The Grind. On the video side, it's going to be a little bit slower, but it's going to get up there. Live performance footage. A lot of stuff you can't find anywhere else, guys, unless you were at the show and taped it yourself. Talking about taping things, I kind of rushed down to get to this thing, this Sled Island Fest, and in all of my rushing and driving the 6 hours, I didn't really have a chance to prepare my equipment, and I apologize to the Ramblin' Ambassadors and to the listeners, because some of the audio on this is kind of wonky. I had two mics going. Unfortunately, the mic that I had them using had a cord that was just, I might as well have dragged it behind my car for 500 kilometers, because it really didn't work that well. So audio's not that great. Apologize for that. But right before we get into the Ramblin' Ambassadors interview, we're going to hear a track by them. This is Dead Man's Flats on The Grind, Volume 21. We'll be right back.
is the Sled Island Fest in Calgary. We are hanging out with a couple guys, actually the whole band, from the Rambling Ambassadors. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty darn excellent and good.
We're semi professional. Fabuloso.
And who all do we have here today?
My name's Tyler. I play the.
Okay, Danny, talk to us.
And my name's Tyler, and I play the drums.
Putting my leash down. Hi.
Somebody's not doing that. Don't you have to ask questions and find out who's the real Tyler Pickering?
We found that out actually when we did an interview with the evidence. We found out all of his dirty details. So.
Old hat.
So you guys are on the legendary Mint Records out of Vancouver. How did that all occur for you? How did it all form?
Tyler's met with Randy, and from that day on, we've been records recording with us.
We call that paying the rent. I took one from the band.
You said you enjoyed it. You said you gave one for
the band. There was new shoes and a cab ride involved too.
Maybe.
Don't ask.
We'll leave it at that. Beyond that, this band is very sort of steeped in a lot of Calgary musical history. What different acts have you guys been associated with in the past or presently?
Most importantly, probably.
The Highlanders.
And he was in... Can you name some?
With Mayor's Agriculture Club.
Stampeders. Tyler also plays in that deck over too.
Yeah.
Enough about you.
Let's talk about Doug.
That's right. Let's talk about it. So come on, talk about Doug.
Okay, well, Doug and I had a band way back in college called Bitchin' Hayride. Mm-hmm. Which is probably Calgary's original Surfabilly combo.
It's really, we invented the name Surfabilly.
And Doug and I had a band called the Twisted Crabs.
From hell.
And let's see, I played in a couple of bands. One was called Creoles and Carols, and the other was called Joe Nine. And it was the Gravity Thugs. And there might have been more of it.
Lurkweed.
Has yet to put out his first album.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that this sort of all came to be on a dare from somebody associated with Huevos Rancheros.
That's true, actually. Craig Evans, and he said, okay, what do you call them? I said, we're called the Ramblin' Bastards. He said, Ramblin' Bastards? Great! So I immediately got a hold of Scott. We whipped up a few songs, borrowed a drummer, and there we went.
Shortly after Tyler came on.
Shortly after Douglas came.
It was a happy
Does it continue to be a happy moment? What's the current status of the Rambling Ambassadors?
Happy.
Lovely.
Are you happy?
I'm
happy. Well, yeah, can you see your hands, Scott? Your hands.
Where's your fingertips?
My jazz hands?
Actually, that happy.
We are happy. We get along just famous.
Swimmingly.
Every once in a while, we're arguing about, like, pizza.
Just the minor day-to-day things that everybody has to deal with, right? What is your current album right now, and what track would you like to hear off of it?
Second album called Vista Cruiser Country Squire. What song would you like to hear, Grant?
The hidden track.
I would like to hear Speed Wobble.
I would also like to hear Speed Wobble.
Well, let's get that going. Speed Wobble, the Ramblin' Ambassadors on punkradiocast.com. We'll be right back. What can we expect in the future from the Rambling Ambassadors? You guys have a tour coming up or playing some shows around Calgary?
Total world domination.
Well, immediately we'll be playing Super Suckers at Flame Central on July 10th. We'll also be playing at the Marquee Room on July 5th.
Rock and Roll Rodeo. We'll be flossing
Rock and Roll Rodeo on July 12th.
Well, we'll also be rehearsing at our rehearsal space.
That'll be this Friday.
It'll be first.
And the 7-inch. And if things go well, we'll have a 7-inch record out split with a New York band called Heavy Trash.
Oh, excellent. Now, if people are looking to find out more information on the Rambling Ambassadors, where can they head on the old information highway? What's the web address?
www.ramblingambassadors.com or MySpace.
/ the Rambling Ambassadors?
Sure.
Yeah, alright.
Rambling.
With that thing that goes by the end.
Yeah.
Rambling Ambassadors.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you guys want to get out there before we wrap things up today?
My favorite number is 5.
Show your hands.
Was the Ramblin' Ambassadors with Hup 234. Are you guys familiar with the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon? That sort of concept where you can link one thing to another thing or one person to another person through the fact that they've worked with someone who's worked with another person. I just realized there's a little bit of association through the show itself. We just heard the Ramblin' Ambassadors, and there's a guy by the name of Tyler who plays drums in that. And we've talked to Tyler before. He plays in The Evidence. And The Evidence are on Meter Records with Dean. And Tyler plays guitar in The Evidence. There's a man by the name of Casey Lewis who plays drums in The Evidence. Now, coincidentally, this next interview that we're going to get to right now, The Martyr Index, Casey plays drums in that as well. Did I just associate Meter Records with Kevin Bacon? I might have. I'm not sure if that's a bad thing. If it is, I apologize. But nonetheless, let's keep it going. These next two interviews, The Martyr Index and Fucked Up, we did these on the very last day of Sled Island Fest. Actually, it was sort of Sled Island Fest was done, and this was just the VIP wrap-up barbecue thing that was going on. And it was also the Martyr Index's vinyl release party. And their album, Molotov Rocktail, was just pressed and just sort of delivered to them in due time for them to release that at the party. So we're going to hear a track off of that. This is called Wasps to Honey, the Martyr Index, on the grind.
This is Stacy and Chris from punkradiocast.com, and today we're talking to the Martyr Index at the Palomino on the last day of Sled Island 2008. How are you guys doing tonight, today, this afternoon?
Splendidly, very hot. How are you?
Pretty hot as well, actually. It's very warm. We just watched you guys as well as Fucked Up today at Sled Island, and we just wanted to talk to you a little bit about your album that just came out called Molotov Rocktail. I believe that you just released your 12-inch vinyl today, is that correct?
Right there.
Imagine that.
How's it going so far?
Yeah, I guess all right, you know. Just came off tour a little while ago.
Where were you on tour?
Just down the west coast, San Francisco and back. I don't know, shredded my vocal cords, we all got sick.
Big time.
Yeah.
I know that your singer had food poisoning yesterday.
It was today.
Today?
She woke up this morning.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, she was fully barfing this morning.
So she put on a brave face. That's why she's not here for this interview. She went home, went to bed.
To go to sleep and barf.
Well, she performed really well today. I can't imagine what she sings like when she's feeling really good. So you guys are sort of more of a social politically movement, sort of a band, I guess you could say. You guys promote concerts to help fund worker cooperatives, is that correct? In your band?
Oh yeah, we've done that before in the past.
Yeah, yeah. Still do that?
It's, you know, I think it's a responsibility of any like community conscious band to do that once in a while, like to at least support the causes that you hold dear on a relatively regular basis, but you know, we also play the regular shows too.
And the city's culture is important to any band, you know? Like, how vibrant it is in this city, you know? If there's any sort of underground, it's really important to us. I don't think we'd be a band that could survive in a city without an underground, you know?
How has Calgary inspired or affected your music so far on your album? New album.
Well, there's a song called Calgary Libre on it.
Okay, tell us a bit about that.
I don't know, I guess it's kind of like a love-hate relationship with the city, you know, the politics in the city are fucked up, but I love the city. You know, like there's something about this place. Every time we go on tour and I come back, I feel like I'm home again, you know? Like, it's my city.
Basically, the song is an homage to how anything that you really love, like any place that's really home, you're gonna have a love and hate relationship with. And Calgary is a big money town. There's a lot of oil money, there's a lot of sort of upper class, you know, business class kind of mentality. There's people driving around in SUVs with only one occupant, no carpooling, you know, there's a lot of things we'd like to change about Calgary, but just because it doesn't have all the things that we want about it, it's still home, and we would rather try and change the things that we don't like about it than give up on the things that we do.
I just recently checked out your video for Baghdad Shuffle. Very awesome, very slick. What gave you the inspiration for that? All the visuals in that?
We can't claim any responsibility whatsoever for that video. It was done entirely by another person, who
Jordan Olawa.
Yeah, he's
his vision, and I mean, like, he consulted us on it, and every time he showed us something, we were like, yeah, that's awesome. That's exactly what was meant in the song. You know, there was very few things that we had any input into in that, other than, you know, like, oh, don't put that font there. You know, yeah. That was pretty much it.
Like, in terms of, like, the concept and stuff like that, the song is very, like, bare bones, very straightforward. Like, I wrote it with absolutely no pretense to it, so he basically took direct, literal interpretation of the lyrics and put it up on the screen, and he did a great job. Like, he did it totally on his own inspiration. He basically just asked us if he could do it, and he did an amazing job, so props to Jordan.
How do you feel that your sound has changed from your previous full-length release, 1936, back in 2002?
It's a lot more focused.
You want to go on that?
I wasn't in the band.
That's true. James actually joined after that. And that's a big change. It's like the band is almost entirely different. Different members. I would say it's a little bit more of a focused, straightforward, like, hard rock sound. We sort of did away with a lot of things that were... extreme.
Become more rock rather than more punk?
Yeah.
I mean, there's...
Yeah, it's like butt rock. That's how I describe it. Yeah.
I think there's still a punk energy underneath it, but it's definitely not punk music. Like,
yeah, we all come from a punk background, so you can't erase that, and to pretend that it doesn't exist would be absurd, right? But at the same time, like, I've been listening to butt rock since I was in junior high. You know, like shit like Crew and AC/DC and stuff like that, so... It's going to be in there, you know, and I think when I was writing punk music and recording punk music, I think I was repressing it a little to a certain extent, you know, because it wasn't cool to just be...
there's still punk shades in it. I think there's still shades of The Clash, there's still shades of Stiff Little Fingers, but they're buried beneath layers of AC/DC and Thin Lizzy, and that's okay.
Now, your new album was released digitally through Meter Records. You're on the Meter Records label. What are your guys' thoughts on the full licensing for free downloads?
Well,
man, that's a can of worms.
It's a complicated question because, you know, it's an attempt to redefine how people use and consume music. The major label model is changing. Like, it can't stay the same.
It's bullshit, too. It's never really benefited bands, ever. You know, like, the industry keeps adapting every time bands find a way to make it on their own and then co-opt that, and then they seize the industry and find some way to make a profit off it again. You know, it's cyclical. And I think that's what all the copyright legislation shit is going on right now, too. You know, it's an attempt on behalf of the majors to actually make a play at making the industry as profitable as it was before. You know, and it's going to sap the indies out of it again, you know, but the truth is that a musician writes a song, you want to perform it to people, you want people to come out and see your music, you want people to hear it, and you've never really made money on it anyway, you know, like, it's something you do because you're passionate about it and you love it, and if you happen to make a living off of it, then you're one of the lucky few, and good for you, but don't make everybody else... Don't persecute your fans for wanting to share your music or anything like that, you know? Like, I think that it's essential and crucial that music get around freely. Otherwise, we're going to choke our own culture, and we're going to realize that there's almost nothing left except garbage, you know, that's, like, commercially viable, as lawyers deem it, you know? So.
Well, the All Rights Reserved copyright has had its time. Like, it was designed, essentially, to protect the industry... corporations who owned the copyrights to certain music, or at least owned a portion of the publishing rights, to protect them versus people who would steal it or use it for, you know, purposes that would steal profits from them. So the Creative Commons copyright has existed since copyright law was invented, and it protects whoever created the art versus anyone who would take advantage of it, except for the fans. Like, because the fans are the people you don't want to, you know, prevent from having your music and sharing your music and, you know, playing it for their friends. And, you know, that's how music spreads. I mean, because it's like any other culture in the collective consciousness, right? It's like, it's something that's pervasive. I mean,
yeah, it's viral. It's like how Metallica became one of the biggest metal bands that ever existed because of bootleg tapes and stuff like that. And then they go and they shut down Napster, you know, once they're all of a sudden like a super, super profitable band. But they became that band because their fans were fanatical. They were fans.
And everyone saw how that hurt them, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Now everybody knows that they're just bullshit.
Are you guys touring with this new vinyl at the moment?
Yeah, touring Canada's great, but it's kind of like touring Siberia, right? Like,
long
you drive 14 hours and you don't see a person, you know? So it's way easier to just, if you can sneak across the border somehow, just drop down there and every 3 hours you go to a city and, you know, the scenery is beautiful, it's awesome.
Well,
you know, I've got nothing against touring Canada, but it's like why trade travels north and south too, you know, like there's, it's easy to get down there and there's a lot of good stuff going on, you know, despite the fact that the U.S. is really fucked up right now politically. And there's one thing that we noticed was America's scared right now. We would meet like people who are totally progressive in every aspect of their life, and then as soon as immigration of Mexican immigrants, undocumented migrants came up, people were like just psycho, like saying the most reactionary shit, and they had been saying something progressive just before that, you know, like I think the media's got America scared of Mexicans ruining the economy, when the fact is that George Bush totally trashed their economy on the Iraq War, you know, and it's a really messed up kind of place right now, you know, like I think people are looking for someone to blame shit on, and they're blaming it on the wrong people.
How was the recording process dealing with Mr. Casey Lewis over there?
I'll let them answer this one.
Go ahead, James.
How was the recording process?
Yeah.
This record?
Yeah.
We did it in chunks with a lot of space in between, so half the record was actually done like a year and a half ago, about that. And then we did the other half. Casey actually has his own studio, and that's what he does for a living, so he records us. And we did half of it, we did most of it in his old studio, now he's got a new one. So we had a really long space in between the two different halves of the record. And I don't know, I think they turned out well together, I think. But it was a long gap. It was kind of I've never recorded like that, where it's such a, usually you go in a weekend or a week, record everything and you're done and that's it. But we did things in chunks, and it was kind of a different way to do it, where you could kind of look back and be happy with a lot of stuff and maybe not so happy with other things. But all in all, I think it was a pretty good process. I'm pretty happy with the record.
What's coming up next for the Martyr Index?
Actually, we're James is actually going to Mexico for a while, so we're going to be sort of, I think, moving a little bit slowly, doing, you know, mostly promotion work for the record and stuff like that. We might we haven't decided yet whether we're going to play with a temporary member, but that's a possibility, just for a little while while James is away. We don't want to slow up too much, so you'll see us around.
Ready for the beast. Blood of the earth boils neath the sands. So they said.
picnic or the funeral pyre, yeah. Well, there's a thorn in their side and a blade to their eye. Cut the mustache off and the beast will die. They knew it's not a matter when they twist their arm.
Dad Shuffle by The Martyr Index, another great Calgary band featured in this volume, number 21 of The Grind. This is the Sled Island Music Fest edition, going back to an event that happened at the tail end of June. Yes, we are backed up, folks. Two more interviews to go. We're going to leave off with the Stonehawker interview that Stacey Steele did on the second day of the festival. It's a little bit longer than the other one, so we're going to leave that one to the end. Up next, though, we do have a little conversation with some folks from Fucked Up. Let's hear a track by them off of their double LP release, Hidden World. This one is entitled Invisible Leader.
Mortal.
everyone, welcome back to The Grind. We are wrapping up Sled Island Fest in Calgary, here with a couple guys from Fucked Up. Who do we have here today?
That's Mr. Joe speaking. That's the drummer.
I'm Gulag. I play guitar.
How are you guys? You played a set a little bit earlier today. Very fucking awesome. Set earlier in the week as well on Friday nights. How was that experience?
I would say it was on the up and up. You know, we came in off the plane a little rusty, and the singer made up for a bit by leaking his forehead open, so made up for any kind of inaccuracies we'd had. But it's been on the up and up. You know, today was really the climax of the whole weekend for us.
You guys have been together since about 2001. Since then, you've been labeled many, many things. Best punk rock band by Exclaim magazine, I believe it was. There's been just a huge buzz around you guys. What do you attest that to?
I don't know. We don't really make a lot of the labels that people use, but definitely flattering. People call you the best punk band, but it's kind of a big mantle to live up to. I guess it's just because we put out cool records. We put out stuff that looks good. We've kind of always stuck with like a certain imagery, like through shirts and records and all that kind of stuff. We try to do stuff that's weird. We try to kind of bait and fuck with people, and it's worked a lot of the time. And some people like it, and some people hate it. And the people who like it now don't really like it anymore, but it's good.
The band is kind of achieving this shift in audience. It seems that the old guard is passing the torch, so to speak, whether coercively or not. But you know, we'll see.
You guys have amazing artwork. I just picked up this album, Hidden World. Just insane. Who did the artwork for that?
Right here. Can we get a close up on this?
We'll get a tight shot.
I guarantee this is probably the only time J-Bo's going to be on TV when he's not being chased by a helicopter. He's this kid from Western Mass, and he's a bizarre mind, and a flourishing personality. But an extremely talented young guy, and who loves the band. Again, like someone of the people who's just in tune with, I guess, what we do.
How did you hook up with him?
We met him out there. We played a pawn shop in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Ended up hanging out with him, and we were in a rush to get this artwork done. We literally had like 2 weeks to finish it, or else the record wasn't going to come out on time. So we put an open call out on our blog. Any artist, please get in touch. And he got in touch. Sent us these sketches. It was like Fraggle Rock meets Transformers or something. Somehow saw through, and here we are. So
it's got that like sort of late 60s, early 70s vibe to it.
He's doing the next record too. We should get this. He's doing the gatefold for the next record, and it's a similar vibe. You'll recognize his art. It's going to become recognizable.
Now we should talk about records. The fact that a lot of your releases are on vinyl. We've got a whole amount of 7 inches. The David Christmas album. What draws you guys to vinyl versus the conventional CD release?
It's the least disposable medium for consuming music, right? And it's especially now, it's a very fleeting thing to be consuming music. So at least this is, whether or not you keep it, it's a physical artifact that's going to last. And we feel a connection with vinyl, mostly because our connection to punk rock has been through sort of the, like, almost archivist-like searching and accumulating of information. So it's like it's important for us to have this representation of our music as opposed to just something that merely exists in the universe. This is like exists in the physical world. And
it's the tangibleness of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's simple, right? It's just like you want to hold something, you want to interact with something, and you have to undergo a process to listen to it. So, I mean, it's easy stuff.
Definitely. Now, you guys are connected with Jade Records down in the States. What kind of relationship has that been with you?
Yeah, well, this record came out on J-Tree, and we just actually split with them. And next record's going to come out on Matador. And, J-Tree was all right. We both kind of stumbled in. We stumbled into them at the right time, and they put out this record. Shit didn't really work out, and so we had to split with them. But no hard feelings, I guess.
Now, a few months back, you guys performed at MTV, and there was a little bit of an incident. Would you like to go into that a little bit? You guys are banned from MTV now?
No, we were never banned.
It's all just press PR stuff.
Yeah, like like Josh said, I mean, whatever he said, you know, it's all about spin, right? Showbiz. I mean, we're not bad.
It was good, though.
There's a shopping list of shit that happened. Kid injected himself on stage.
We have some very interesting band names within this. We've got 10,000 Marbles, Concentration Camp, Mustard Gas, Pink Eyes. How all did that come to be? Why do you represent yourselves with that name?
We just kind of wanted to follow suit with the kind of punk legacy of using pseudonyms to attach to your records. So, you know, we were kind of thinking of Jimmy Gestapo from Straight Ahead when we chose Concentration Camp. I don't know where 10,000 Marbles came from. I think it's a movie reference of some kind. I'm not really sure. Singer's Pink Eyes, which is just a name he coined. It's also the name of another band he plays in. We call our bass player Mustard Gas or Laundry or Lumpy, because that's kind of like attuned to her personality. And Mr. Joe is just kind of, it's just a nice alliteration.
I was just they couldn't pronounce my real name at this job I had, so they just called me Mr. Joe.
It just stuck with you, right?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a catchy nickname.
Now, you guys have been sort of entangled in some legal issues with Camel. What all happened with that? They used your name and your something that wasn't allowed.
Yeah, the deal with that is there was like a 6-page spread in this Rolling Stone magazine, and the title was Indie Rock Universe, and there was 92 bands that they featured in it, and then attached like on the pages before and after were Camel cigarette ads, and the style of the artwork was really similar to the style of the Indie Rock Universe spread.
Yeah.
So we really felt that Camel and Rolling Stone must have colluded in some way to kind of make it seem like that all these bands were part of this Camel ad. And so there's a lawsuit that us and another band from San Francisco have launched, a class action against RJ Reynolds, which makes Camels and Rolling Stone magazine, because we just felt we were unfairly represented, and so it's probably going to be like 5 years before anything actually comes down, a decision comes down.
Still
but
waiting for all the law, the technical.
Yeah, yeah. So they're really just in preliminary stuff right now, and hopefully it works out for the best.
I think you guys can make a great example of not allowing corporations to just grab whatever name or whatever likeness they want and attach that to whatever they want for whatever use. I really appreciate the fact that you guys are fighting against that. I think that's huge. Are there any challenges that you guys are kind of wary of that you're going to get up against? All this extra legal shit along with the actual, I mean, you guys are you're a band, right? So you're focused on the music. But when someone starts using your likeness like that or your name, does that tie up a lot of time?
I mean, it's really the first and only time that it's happened, and it's a bit intimidating to have to come to terms with the fact that this hobby of ours has become at least so available to so many people that someone would try and use this likeness to their advantage. So I mean, it's more mental than real. Like, it doesn't tie up our time. None of us are lawyers. It takes energy out. But I mean, more the notion that this is at the point now where it's in line to be shipped off or exploited without consent is like mentally daunting a little bit. That's an intimidating thing.
What are your guys' thoughts on the internet? I mean, a lot of that's sort of the same thing where, you know, your album could be released or leaked or anything like that. What are your thoughts on that versus exposure?
Well, the internet seems like such a benign thing because every band uses it to their advantage, including us.
Yep.
And in fact, I would say that the internet has had a very big part in getting things out there. What with the blog getting tons of hits a day, and websites, New York Times. Oh,
what'd you send?
Left it on my phone here. I don't know. I mean, the internet seems a lot like more like a rubber room for us than it does a malicious place. Which, I mean, something like this Rolling Stone ad is so far out of the realm of like internet gossip or file sharing. It's like it's a much more tangible, real thing. So
definitely. What idols do you guys have that sort of influences and anything that you sort of take from or are really influenced by? Either in the punk rock community or just in your life in general, what do you bring into your music?
Katie Stillmanis. It's pretty awesome.
Anything else?
We could do like a shopping list, but it's just sort of, it's just about putting something out there that is worthwhile for us and hopefully has enough content and context to be worthwhile for anybody, you know what I mean? So
I received the long list for the Polaris 2008 Awards. Guys are on there.
Really?
It's fucking awesome. What are your thoughts on that?
What are the Polaris Awards again?
It's for this year's?
For this year's, yeah.
Oh, what, is it for the Year of the Pig record?
Yes.
Oh, cool. That's great. It's pretty flattering. I think we're still a long shot, but it's pretty cool.
I'd say it's cool
because we're going to be
feist. Yeah, we're going to be feist, and I say it's cool because the Deadly Snakes won that for that record.
I think it's great because you look at something like the Junos, where it's more industry-based, like based on classical album sales, where this is more voted on by the fans that you know, really appreciate the music and the energy that you guys put out. So
that's cool.
Anything else you guys want to get out there before we wrap things up? Any bands that you you're keeping your ear to the ground on?
I already said that.
Katie Stillmanis.
Disgusting Body, UTI, Reprobates, Mangled Corpse, Backyard Barbecue, Disaster Inferno Society.
Nice.
And yourself?
That about sums it up, really.
That covers it all.
Oh, hey. Yeah. I want to. Bad Choice, NYCTO, Omegas, Excessive Force, and the Mad Men.
Excellent. So what can we expect from Fucked Up in the months to come?
Skyrocketing to evermore.
Ignorant Surfing.
Yeah, just the new record, man. It's coming out.
We're going to Europe to eat coffee and baguettes for 2 months and just think about life.
Excellent. Anything else you guys want to...
No, cut the other shit out. Just use that.
Just use that, hey? Anything else you guys want to get out there before we wrap things up here on The Grind?
Thanks.
Thanks to The Grind. Keep on rocking in the free world.
Coming down to one more interview remaining on this volume of The Grind, number 21, the Calgary Sled Island Music Fest Edition. That band that is remaining is Stonehawker. They are a newer band from Calgary, and they are starting to make a big dent in the scene. I believe they played Warped Tour just the other day when it was in Calgary, And we're going to get to that interview with Stacey Steele. It's a bit of a long one. We're looking at about 20 minutes or so, and we're going to toss some music in between like we like to do. Before we get to it, though, let's hear a Stonehawker track right off the bat. This is Just Look Away.
Just look away, yeah, yeah, so I can do something wrong. Just take away, yeah, yeah, my sense of right and wrong. You hold me back, yeah, yeah, yet I don't want to run. I look to you,
everyone. This is Stacey Steele on punkradiocast.com, and tonight I'm sitting at the Palomino in Calgary with
Josh,
Mike,
Ellen, and Mark,
and Jeffrey's on the phone of the band Stonehawker. Okay, first of all, I know that your last name is Stonehawker, but why did you decide to go with that as your name?
I wanted it to be something I could carry on forever, pretty much. Because I met up with Jeff first.
Yeah, it was Jeff. And I played with Jeff in a band before that, so... Okay.
So we were looking for a bass player, and eventually he came up.
So Mark pretty much built the band, put it together, and it was the Stonehawker project, right? So it was something that I was wary of when I first started the band. Like, I think it was going to be like the Stonehawker band, and I was going to be like the bassist for it, but it hasn't been like that at all. We've been really like... Everyone has their own ideas and puts their own input in, and everyone's got a say in everything, so it's not like...
Yeah, I wanted it to be a band.
Yeah, it's definitely a band of, like, everybody coming together with everything, so...
There's just no... You guys were all just like, yeah, it's a cool name, fine.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know for the first couple months, I had no idea that it was his name. I'm like, so, why Stonehawker? Yeah, and I asked the same question. It's like, it's my name. I'm like, oh, okay. But no, it's a good name, so he just kind of kept it. Yeah, hasn't been a problem.
When did you start up Stonehawker?
We started up last summer, pretty much.
Almost a year ago.
Pretty good.
Coming up on a year.
Coming up, yeah, because it was close to the end of the summer. We were kind of fiddling around in the summer, and then
we're probably 10 months, 11 months in.
Yeah. Not me though.
No,
he's relatively new.
You're the newest, aren't you?
I'm the new one. I've only been in for a couple, 3 months, maybe.
Yeah.
3 or 4 months.
You're liking it?
Oh hell yeah!
He enjoys the abuse.
I enjoy all the abuse.
How did you guys all meet each other?
Like,
how did you join the band? Jeff?
Jeff. Jeff probably brought everyone together, I guess.
My new Jeff. That was
awesome.
I got Jeff
in Jeff's folder right now. He's making more ties right now. He's like, oh yeah, I can do this over there.
That's awesome.
But, yeah.
We knew we needed a guitarist. And we wanted to try with a guitarist.
Yeah?
Yeah, we did actually try with another guitarist. We just found it was so much more dynamic with the two guitar sound. It just filled it up a lot more. So.
But then he had to go, so we're like, okay, we got to replace him.
We had a taste of it, so we needed a second guitarist. Perfect.
I just came to ask it on the right day, and Jeff asked me to be in a band. And I just said, yeah, okay.
Okay. Can you play?
Can you
play? Pretty good.
I know that in February this year, I think it was in February, you recorded part of your song. Stetson, is that right? The song was it, Give It Up?
Oh yeah, we gave up. Yeah, we recorded some live songs at Stetson.
How did that come about? Was it recording there instead of anywhere else?
We were playing there and he recorded us. And
we didn't even tell us.
We didn't know. And when we were done, he was like, hey, I recorded most of your set. It was a
great show too. Like, we ended up nailing it. It was a lot of the show we could keep out of all the live takes, which is rare.
Who did you play with? Mm-hmm.
We played with a band, we played with a lot of the Hours. They're really good friends of ours. They played last Wednesday here, actually, with us. So they're really, really good guys. And every time they play, even months ago, they got progressively better. So.
Yeah,
we're
definitely a band.
Yeah.
You started laying down tracks for an album.
We finished it. Yeah. It's in the process of about to be remastered.
Okay.
So it should be out. We don't know yet. We haven't decided that yet.
We got the songs done.
Yeah. A couple ideas.
Yeah, we got a couple ideas. A lot of the song names actually sound good as the title, so we might have a really strong song and then back the title of the album.
I think we're aiming for August 29th. So
30th has changed.
What's that?
It got bumped back again to the 30th.
To the 30th? Okay. So it's drifting around there, but around here. The show at the Stetson again.
Oh, okay.
It's confirmed the 30th with the Hours.
Well, how many songs are going to be on there?
Well, we got 11 recorded. We just gotta do the final listen and decide.
Yeah, we're gonna get a bunch of people to come out and listen to it, or give a bunch of rough copy CDs to friends and find out what the
feedback.
What the feedback is on the best songs and the worst songs, because we all have our different bias songs and what we like like the most and what we want out.
Because we can't make the decision ourselves. I'm sure they'll all make it on. We'll get the input and we'll be like, screw that, we'll put them all on. We're
gonna add one. And the live one is going to be released on there too?
One live one will be. We took one live one and all the rest are recorded.
Do you like recording live? Do you like the raw energy of recording live?
Fun, yeah, it's definitely.
Well, the shows are kind of where we are at. That's the main part of this band is the shows. Right now we don't have too much for recordings, so all people really know is the show, so that's the best part. So they can go, oh wow, that band sucked live compared to the CD.
That's the thing. The one live song on there,
in 2 months,
it just bleeds right through, you know? Like, it's not very much different, so it's kind of nice to hear.
And when we record, we try to make it as live sound as it would be.
We don't do a lot of overproducing or anything.
We just
like
track
that.
What we play normally. And even the samples you hear on the CDs, Jeff has a sampler by his drum set, and he controls a lot of those sounds. It still happens at the live show, so even on our live tracks, you do have that kind of stage production almost.
Do you like to record in lo-fi or hi-fi?
Kind of both.
Yeah.
Hi-fi. Dirty hi-fi, yeah. Which would be low hi-fi.
Yeah, bi-fi.
Bi-fi.
We invented it.
Yeah, it's ours.
You're the newest, Mike, and I want to know what element you brought to the band as soon as you started, what kind of energy you brought to the band, and how you made a difference. Has the sound changed for you when you come into the band at all with these ideas?
Yeah, for sure it has. Anytime you got somebody new, it kind of breathes a different element in. The other thing about Mike, it's different about all of us, because this is on the radio. He's younger. Not better looking.
Oh, shit. Hey, we're just the hours.
The Owls showed up there too.
Yeah. Yeah, his sound is, it's probably a different sound for sure. We've written a few songs with him on, and they're completely different. Every time we write new songs, they get progressively better and different than what we were playing before. So
that's probably the difference. Yeah.
There's always a few songs, like out of the whole album, there'll be a few songs that were written without Mike, and then some songs are written with him. And you can really tell the difference. So it's neat. You can even just listen to this.
It's not just one person sitting down and writing the song. Well, it might start that way. But everyone has their own part. Everyone puts in their own input. It's not like we're ever dictating to Mike what he's going to play. He, he's written all his lines for me.
Yeah, now, when he came in, we didn't give him a lot of lines. No, yeah. He gave me a lot of freedom to pretty much do whatever the hell I wanted.
Just a little bit.
And everyone takes guidance from everyone else, too, right? Because everyone has good ideas.
I came in and everyone's just like, so what am I supposed to do there? And they're like, make something up. So
and that's
and I would exactly
tell him.
Yeah, you can tell him. Like, you
make it
something else. I don't
really
know.
You performed with
Kilborn
before as well?
Yep.
Recently, haven't you?
Coming up as well.
Yeah, that's right. They won a local radio contest in town.
Yeah.
What was it like being on the
stage with them? They're good guys, yeah.
Good girls.
Oh, good girls. Oh, nice guys.
The guys.
Bunch of good guys. No, they are girls, that's right. Yeah, they were good girls.
Here, actually.
Yeah.
This is where we live. I like the food that much. Yeah.
Who do you always
want
to play with and haven't yet?
Oh, you know.
Great Big C. We all saw Great Big
yeah,
C today in the alley. So now we want to play with them.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
We'll play with anybody.
What are your thoughts on the current state of punk music right now compared to
30
years ago?
Well, I think it's a little bit refined. What do you think, Mike?
My roommate's a huge punker. Like, massive. Like, 3 foot, mohawk and everything. Every time I walk out of my room, he's always listening to a different punk album. You know, like, this is all, like, really old hardcore, like, punk stuff. And, like, I don't know. And then I listen to stuff that comes around, like, new age. And it's just kind of... It's a lot more, like you said, refined. It's held back aggression.
Ever since Refused, that kind of changed it all.
The
Shape of Punk to Come really changed that. I know that that's a really big influence on our band. It may not audibly be evident, but it is a big influence, like the way things are and stuff.
You have a lot of punk tones in your sound, so
yeah. People say we have more of an older punk sound.
Like
The Clash or stuff like that, where we're not as, like, you know, Bouncing Souls, Party Party, Fall Down Drunk. we're more like, I don't know, everybody says across between the Police and, like, Meeting Cambridge.
I grew up listening to a lot of punk, a lot of, like, really happy, like, Lagwagon and NoFX.
You have blue hair this year.
Yeah.
In this lazy little town, everybody's doing oh so well. Everybody's doing well. And if I follow all of the advice, I'd do so well. I'd buy myself something really nice. It doesn't really matter. I'll give it up for my dreams. Oh yeah, I'll give it up to escape. I'll give it up for the moment. Give it up for you. Give it up for my dreams. Oh yeah, I'll give it up to escape. When I wandered off a wandered bob home, looking for my fortune, searching for the price of my soul. Yeah, the price of my soul. I'll give it up for my dreams. Oh yeah, I'll give it up to escape. Uh-huh, I'll give it up for the moment. Give it up.
friends.
I see a generation.
Yeah,
it hasn't really changed. It's just kind of like the old guys are still around, but they don't go to shows as much because they have kids. And basically all their cousins and little brothers are kind of basically, so it's like a big tidal wave. They're like...
And there's so many different genres of punk right now. Like, it's probably just more spread out with people. It's not one scene. There's so many different kinds. Some punks that like the old school, like Clash and Sex Pistols, won't like any of the new stuff, or won't like any of the new, like, hardcore punk that's coming out. So, the screamo punk, you're like, where does it draw the line? And I like it.
Thanks. Read my mind.
Some people don't. So I think you see it a little bit more spread out, and it wasn't a little bit of a lull, but I think there's a lot of people coming out and they're good luck.
Where have you always wanted to play at? You haven't yet. The only
playing in
Calgary to play across Canada at all?
We played Alberta, the better part of Alberta, including like the small towns and stuff. But I think this fall we plan on going out to Vancouver, dropping coast, maybe even like Victoria, that kind of thing. That's kind of a goal for the fall.
I've always wanted to play Warped Tour.
Yeah, that's always the thing. That is coming up very quickly.
always. So that's kind of a fun thing. That's like the Christmas for the punk rocker. You save your money up and you get all the merch and CDs and your pockets are full. And there's sand in your beard, but you don't care. You're sunburned.
I'm sunburned beyond belief.
Yeah, you're scorched at like Race City, so it's just like a parking lot pretty much of dust.
Black asphalt all over the place.
And thousands of punk rockers, sweaty, stinky punk rockers. But it's such a great day.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy to stoked for playing this.
It's kind of a benchmark, yeah. It's a benchmark for a band to say, okay, yeah, we play local bands, we play local shows and whatnot. But then if you say, well, we're playing Warped Tour. I mean, even if you're just doing one day, if you're doing a stretch of dates, it doesn't matter. Still, it's that one sentence that kind of closes the deal. It's kind of a big deal.
What do you think about the internet music and the way that you can relate to your fans at one side of it? And
instant gratification.
Yes?
Yeah. Instant. It's incredible. I used to play in bands like in the mid-early 90s, and I mean... You would go out 40 below and poster with like 100 posters, and then go back 2 days later and they're gone, and you have no clue if you even saw anybody even knew the show was going on, or if they even gave a crap. At least this way, if you have a website like a MySpace or a Facebook group, people join it, and then you instantly you know, and then you can go, hey, by the way, seeing as you like us or. You like the bass player because he's good looking, or the guitar player because he's good looking too. Maybe you dream about this a lot. You know where we are, always.
Well, not your thing.
I don't dream about it. I think it's sick.
What about like the state of music? Like when you, instead of going into a music store and picking up a CD or vinyl, and then all of a sudden you're getting it. Just click of a button, you can download it whether it's legal or not.
I'm still the guy that goes to the CD store and buys every single CD that he wants.
I'm gonna miss CD.
Yeah,
stores.
So do I. I still go in. I still, if I see something on the internet, I think it's better because I don't know how many bands I've found on the internet that I can only get a few songs out of, and then been like, oh, I want more, and gone and bought their CD, and then become a fan and bought all their stuff. So.
Yeah. And I think it's just like I like supporting the bands that. It makes the bands work harder to put on a show that makes you want to go see. Like bigger, as far as the bigger stuff goes. As far as the smaller stuff goes, I think it just acts as a tool to promote yourself. All it does is that. You don't necessarily make money off internet sales unless you're doing large numbers, and it's the same for the CD store anyways.
I mean, we're still looking for ways to do it on the internet. We don't want to ignore the internet. We want to, you kind of have to be embracing it because it's...
It can't be denied that it's a huge tool.
I mean, denying being involved in the internet would be like denying that you need to make a CD nowadays. It's unthinkable.
There's very few bands that you'll read about that don't have one, a website, two, a MySpace. If they don't have either of those, usually it's very shunned upon. There's one band, I think, on Sled Island this year
they made a point of saying we don't have either, and I don't remember the name. That's probably why. But hey.
How did you get asked to come aboard the sled out?
Spencer.
Zach actually was the guy. Yeah. Zach and Spencer. Spencer's a good friend of ours. He books the Palomino. And Zach from Broken City is also the main guy and creator of Sled Island. Is a friend from a couple of years ago of mine. And we just kind of were chatting about it. And he said, yeah, I don't know. You know, it'd be kind of cool to play. And then he approached us and offered it to us, which was really cool. Just from my understanding, it doesn't happen very much. It could. I don't know. Maybe everybody was invited personally. It's a lot. It's based on the Montreal scene for indie rock, and that's really cool. And there's a lot of things that are similar, and even some people that are involved in both. It's really cool.
How does living in Calgary and being a band in Calgary affect your music? You put anything into music?
We
talk about society?
About we've got an Alberta flag in our
Alberta
space.
In general, yeah.
We had a giant Alberta flag in our jam space.
And I think Jeff...
Calgary Pride, I guess.
I think Jeff has referred to a couple of our songs as a drive to Edmonton.
There's one song that we play that definitely feels like a drive.
Yeah.
It's not even a long drive. It's like a very familiar drive. That's what it is. It's like, oh, you know, here we are. Yeah, you know exactly where you don't even need to look. We're 20 minutes away from downtown. We're an hour and a half away from downtown. It's just that feeling you get as you get closer. It's kind of, you know, it's like visiting an old friend.
That's cute.
Yeah. Very cute. Edmonton is an old friend.
Yeah.
Do you
want to
shout out any future plans for Stonehawker? Any shows coming up? MySpace page, Facebook page.
We just got a phone call that we're playing the Fuel contest.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
right.
Literally. Just
good.
Right on.
I'll bring you that on tomorrow, I guess.
What's the date again? I'm hoping I'm available. Yeah, that's kind of a cool thing. The winner of the first thing is 25,000. The winner of the whole thing is 300,000. So, I mean, it's really cool. It's all artist grant stuff, so it's really cool that a radio station's doing that in Calgary. I mean, no slight on any of the other stations. There's been a lot of contests all of a sudden, and I think it's cool that the radio stations have kind of embraced the fact that there's music out here that could be used to, I don't know, make people want to listen to the radio.
So that's kind of cool. Come out to shows,
yeah.
Support the scene, support. Make it grow.
So a big shout out to Fuel.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
What's your MySpace page?
MySpace.com/thirdhunkerlove.
My last question for you guys is, I'm going to turn the tables and let you ask me a question, and it can be anything you want. To a point.
I like how there's that clause in there.
You've got to be careful.
To a point.
What's your favorite band you've ever interviewed?
The Dirt Bombs.
Yeah.
I love them, man. They're cool.
Are they weird?
No, they're cool.
They're funny?
Very.
What genre is that? Are they a punk band?
A punk band.
I'm a garage punk, I guess.
Garage punk.
They like to get crazy.
Totally. Oh. Well, that about wraps it up for this evening. This is Stacey signing off with Stonehawker. Have a great night, everyone, and we will see you online on punkradiocast.com.
I suffer by the sun that's burning humanity.
Beautiful the youth is raised
by
the children of yesterday.
Whoa.
Innocence is living with daggers
of society. Blue eyes to gray in a senseless land alone, making all his own. Blue eyes to gray in a senseless land alone, making all his own.
Stonehawker with a track called Blue Eyes to Gray. And in the midst of that interview, we heard another tune by them called Give It Up. Let's give it up for Stacey Steele for helping out the grind, doing the interviews, and helping out with some camera work as well. Also, big thanks to Zach, Derek, anybody else that was affiliated with setting up or even playing at the second annual Calgary Sled Island Music Fest. Really looking forward to next year. Also, speaking of looking forward to things, don't forget, the grind is coming back at you twice next week, just like this week, on a Tuesday and on a Thursday. Tuesday's show is going to be volume number 22, the Boonstock edition, featuring music and interviews with Daniel Wesley, O'Connell and Crush, Six City, The Transition, Gob, and Tupelo Honey. I'm going to wish you guys a good weekend, and I will leave you with a track called Hidden World off of the Hidden World double disc by Fucked Up. Probably one of my favorite records right now, if I had to pick. It's always so hard. Fucked Up on the grind. This is Hidden World. Have a good weekend, guys. See you Tuesday.
A billion suns, a bunch of gun, a trillion laughs, barely a